All right, we've all listened to Ron DeSantis and others defend alligator Alcatraz. A judge came in and ordered part of that to be shut down, so I imagine they're still in the process of working through that. But now they're about to open up another one, and Eben Brown from Fox News Radio has been covering that story. And Eben, good morning to you. How are you?
Well, good morning.
So is before we get to the new one, did I hear a report the other day that the numbers were starting to dwindle at alligator Alcatraz? Are they really going to have to shut that one down?
It might. And so remember, it's the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, that decides who goes there.
Okay.
So that's that, the state simply opens the facility and then it's essentially leased out to the federal government for their use based on their needs and what they think is the smartest thing to do. And yes, there is a legal battle over alligator Alcatraz, and it's simultaneously interesting and not interesting. Meaning it's mostly a jurisdictional matter, which is kind of boring. But at the same time, because it's a jurisdictional matter, the state is going, haha, we don't have to follow this. That has to do with a lawsuit in the federal Southern District of Florida about a lack of access to legal representation for the inmates. And the judge saying, wait a second, this is technically in Collier County, which would put it in the Middle District of Florida. So you got to take your case up there and try it there. And then the next day or a couple days later, another judge in the Southern District ordered a shutdown as part of an environmental impact lawsuit, and in which case the DeSantis folks, the governor here, looked back and said, wait a second, your judge in the same court just said you didn't have jurisdiction. So why do we have to follow this one?
Yeah.
So that's kind of why, there's still a legal battle going on. But Louisiana, they're opening up one, and this one's kind of interesting.
So the one in Louisiana, is it in a swamp? There's a lot of swamps down there.
Yeah, I think it's up in the middle of the state.
Okay.
And this is the Louisiana State Penitentiary, also known as Angola Prison. It's a very infamous prison. It was the source of a lot of prison reform in this country because of how awful it was in the 60s and 70s with riots and people getting stabbed and all sorts of horrible things happening there. Really a horrific place that scares a lot of criminals when they find out they're going to. It's like Azkaban, okay? I mean, it's like, this is not a good place. Anyhow, there's an unused portion of it that had formerly been where they put solitary confinement prisoners. It's called Camp J. They also call it the dungeon. It's been unused for a very, very long time. The state is rushing renovations to completion to make it available to the Department of Homeland Security to house criminal migrants. And DHS says the worst of the worst will go there. These are the people who are not just simply criminal migrants, but who have committed violent crimes, people who have committed murders and rapes and assaults and drug trafficking, convicts and whatnot. They'll go there to be out processed and then eventually deported. So the point with a lot of these facilities, and there's one in Nebraska called the Cornhusker Clink, and there's one in Indiana called the Speedway Slammer. People won't stay there very long. They're there to be housed while being out processed and deported.
Yeah.
That's how this is supposed to work.
This is
not a place where someone goes to spend, 20 years to life.
That's true. And my guess is they could have just transferred people from Alligator Alley to Louisiana when this one opened. Since it's the feds, they can move them around wherever they need to. And they've got a lot more time on their hands now, right? Because they're not at the border trying to stop people from coming across.
Correct. I mean, this is about finding people who are in the U.S. interior and getting them into custody and then getting them into the process for deportation. And yes, the federal government has a lot of leeway as to where they can house them. So by the states opening up these facilities and making them available to the federal government, it does give the federal government a lot of options.
Yeah. Sounds like Missouri may need to work on that up here. Maybe we build a place out in the Fort Lost in the Woods, Fort Leonard Wood here, just outside of Missouri, and Rolla is a pretty remote area. Maybe we could put one down there somewhere.
Maybe. My brother did basic training there.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Well, we cover Exodus every year when they leave for the holidays after their long basic training. Have there been any more court challenges to this that I've missed to this policy?
I don't know of any, or at least not that are really all that novel. I think since the one in Louisiana hasn't officially started operation yet, there's probably no lawsuits yet. You know, that'll probably happen. I imagine someone will try, you know, once it starts taking on inmates. So, you know, get ready for that.
Very true. Coming up shortly, I'm sure. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Evan, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. Yep, take care. Evan Brown with Fox News Radio there, reporting on the Louisiana lockup. What are they going to call it down there? I don't know what they're going to. I can't wait for John Kennedy to be out talking about this. That ought to be worth a listen. Hey, by the way, let's get back to that soundbite from Nicole Wallace that I played at the top of the show, if you missed it. She just made these comments this morning. She is angry. Angry, I tell you. That the president of the United States would make fun of the city of Chicago. She and you know who else is mad about this is Colbert. Colbert is really mad about President Trump referring to Chicago as a hellhole. Listen,
Chicago is a hellhole right now.
How dare you, sir? Chicago is not a hellhole right now. Chicago is not a hellhole until February. Then it is a sub-zero windswept vista of frozen Lake Michigan. Trudging out of your very affordable apartment to meet your improv friends at Twin Anchors for craft beer and a double cheeseburger. Hellhole.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that, Michigan Lake Michigan winters suck. There's no doubt about that. But Chicago's a hellhole for a lot of other reasons than that. And part of it is the crime numbers that come out of Chicago. Now, of course, when we tell you that St. Louis is the second most dangerous city in the country, well, that's a math game. And for years, people, the civic leaders here used to get mad when we at Channel 4 or the other local media would report that statistic when it came out every year. Well, that's not fair because those numbers are only given out within the population of the city of St. Louis. If you added the St. Louis population in with the county, then our crime problem would appear to be much better. Well, yeah, but you still got a high per capita crime rate in a city of 300,000 people. That you can't deny that. Whatever the number is, they may have more murders in other cities, but they have a bigger population to divide it into. Sorry, is what it is. Listen to Nicole Wallace. Try to criticize what Donald Trump said about Chicago.
And all of it designed to scare people. And let's do a little bit more fact-checking, because I think if they were on solid ground, they wouldn't be lying so much, would they? Donald Trump said this in the last hour, quote, Chicago's a murder capital of the world. Fact-check false. It's actually a distinction that Tijuana, Mexico has right now, the highest homicide rate in the world. Trump posted in that weekend post you're talking about, Vaughn, quote, Chicago's the worst and most dangerous city in the world. That is also false.
She's so worried about Trump saying it's the most dangerous that she doesn't want to acknowledge that it's dangerous at all. Donald Trump has fooled Democrats and left-wing media members into supporting murder. Let me read you a statistic this morning. Chicago has averaged between 770 to 800 murders a year in recent years, if you average out the last couple of years, with the homicide rate fluctuating significantly. The city experienced a sharp increase in homicides from 500 in 2019 to 771 in 2020, with 2024 recording nearly 800 homicides, making it one of the nation's highest totals for homicides in a large city. Well, it's 800 homicides in a city of 3 million people, or however many people live there. Think about that. Of course, it doesn't make the top 10 list for murders in the U.S. because that's divided out by the population. It's a math problem. But are you still really defending the fact you're okay with 800 people being unalived every year in Chicago? For the governor of that state to look into a camera and say, there's no problem here, we've got it handled, is a flat-out joke. J.B. Pritzker is a joke. Brandon Johnson is a joke. Nicole Wallace is a joke. What's your number, Nicole? Somebody needs to ask Pritzker that the next time they get an interview with him walking down the street. What's your number, Governor? What number's acceptable? How many dead people are acceptable on your watch? And if the number's less than 800, why don't you ask for the help from the man who just fixed that problem in D.C., where they had zero homicides for the last couple of weeks? It can be fixed if you have the will to fix it. Most of them just don't. They don't. These liberals, they're fine with 800 of their constituents dying. They have no problem with that. And that's sick. We'll be back in just a minute.